Poli-Sci, how we doing out there? Dr. P right here, talking our famous question, what's going on in the world today? And if you're out there hearing our voice, then connect to us, people, for all your local lo-fi updates. YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, we're all over the place. Hit us up, people. Now let's dig into that lo-fi African news for you. That's right, it's another All-African News Day, my friends. Starting out in Tunisia. Sad news, unfortunately. As the shining light of the Arab Spring slides further toward authoritarianism. As a reporter is just sentenced to 6 months in prison for insulting a public figure, aka defamation, for commenting on Facebook about trips outside of the country taken by that official and a potential connection to corruption. And that official, of course, was not pleased, and thus they filed suit against the journalist. And the courts picked it up, and voila. Now the journalist is serving 6 months. 6 months for questioning and wanting transparency in government. It's a heavy price. Next up, another story with a heavy price. To Sudan we go, where last week on April 15th, it marked 1 year since the beginning of the country's civil war, and the third civil war since the country gained independence in 1956. The second of which led to the splitting up of the country into two countries and gave birth to the newest country in the world, South Sudan, in 2011. Thus making this the first civil war in the country since South Sudan split from Sudan, but the overall third civil war in the country's 68-year history. Three civil wars in 68 years. But we don't hear about this that often at all. And why is that? Why is that? Why do we hear about some wars all the time, but when it comes to a civil war in an African country, we don't hear about it that much? Right in, people, you tell me. Sudan's civil war has been going on for over a year now, but we simply don't hear much about it. Now, why is that? Now, let's move on out to the country of Togo in West Africa, where the government has formalized its transition from a presidential system to a parliamentary system, which could be a cool thing, right? Giving more power to the parliament and taking some away from the president. Except now, presidential term limits are extended, and a new position created for the president after their term finally does expire in 2031. And really, this looks more like a family dynasty being cemented into the constitution, as the current president and his father, they have ruled the country since 1967. That's 57 years. So that's it, huh? Goodbye, constitutional democracy. And now we're moving to authoritarianism. But why hide authoritarianism as democracy today? Why change the constitution? Why not just make all the term limits disappear completely? Why is it more and more do we see countries trying to hide authoritarianism as democracies? Question mark? Write in, people, write in. Next up, the latest from the IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, as their most recent report on sub-Saharan Africa is in, and not too great, as the international organization reports that the global income gap between sub-Saharan Africa and the rest of the world is getting larger. The income gap is increasing. But on the positive side, they did say that the expected economic growth of sub-Saharan Africa should be higher this year than it was in 2023, which it was 3.4%. And this year it should be 3.8% growth rates. The problem, though, is that the growth rate for the rest of the world remains higher, meaning the income gap is just getting larger. This means that regardless of globalization and economic interdependence and international trade that are fueling the bouncing back of economies from COVID-19, that Africa, and specifically sub-Saharan Africa, is not benefiting to the same degree from all of that in comparison to the rest of the world, according to the IMF. Now, why might that be? Why might that be? But hey, you know, not everything is all doom and gloom around the world. There's always lots of good things going on, too. Like this next one. And a last piece of something-something before we switch to our Fab Five of the Day. A chess player, a chess master from Nigeria, has broken the world record and is still going at it for the longest chess marathon ever. And at the time of this writing/recording, going for about 60 hours straight of playing chess. But why? Why, you may ask, would you marathon chess, which I didn't know was a thing, to raise $1 million to help with chess education for millions of children? This, I like. No. I love this story. For the children, let's all give a helping hand. All right. Check it, people. I was thinking, what top five or what Fab Five can we do today? And you know, I thought last time we did an All Africa episode, we covered the five largest economies in Africa. So today, we're covering the five smallest economies in Africa. But you know, we did the five largest economies by GDP. We're going to do the five smallest by GDP per capita. And our data come from the World Bank 2022, because we don't have 2023 data until this summer, probably. And remember, GDP per capita is the gross domestic product divided by the population of the country to provide us the average income of every person in the country, if income was distributed equally across the population. GDP per capita, there you go. Now let's get it, people. Coming in at number five, Somalia, at $592.10 a person a year. Number four, Niger, $585.40 per person per year. Number three, Madagascar, $558.30 per person per year. The Central African Republic is number two, with $427.10 per person per year. And number one, the African country with the smallest economy as measured by GDP per capita from the World Bank's 2022 data. Number one is Burundi at $259 per person per year. At Somalia, Niger, Madagascar, Central African Republic, and Burundi. And why did I keep saying per person per year every single time? Simple. To make you understand, we're talking about that average number. Like in Burundi, on average, a person only has $259 for the entire year. Think about it, people. And you know, an interesting little fact about this list. Did you know that if you did a list of the 10 smallest economies in the world, the entire world, not just Africa, that these five countries would still be on that list too? Now, why do you think that is? All right, switching gears again to our last segment of the day. It's time for that lo-fi global trivia, my friends. But we got five African trivia questions coming at you. Let's get right to it. Number one, which volcano in Tanzania is the highest mountain in Africa? I said, which volcano in Tanzania is the highest mountain in Africa? Number two, what percentage of the African continent is covered by the Sahara Desert? What percentage of the African continent is covered by the Sahara Desert? Number three, for much of the 20th century, what was Zimbabwe called? For much of the 20th century, what was Zimbabwe called? Number four, which 100-mile-long waterway links the Mediterranean and the Red Sea? Which 100-mile-long waterway links the Mediterranean and the Red Sea? And our final, our last Lo-Fi African trivia question of the day. What direction does the Nile flow in? What direction does the Nile flow in? Love you, Lo-Fi. And that's just a snap of what's going on in the world today. Lo-Fi Poli-Sci is more than just me. It's a we that we be. Pickering, signing off.